Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The scientific dictatorship and control of our country for more than 80 years has done tens of thousands of declassified chemical, biological, radiological tests on every major city. They have killed tens of thousands we know of, including police and military. Police, military, you've been slowly brainwashed and compartmentalized. You have now been federalized. You know you've been doing drills of rounding up the children. We told you about this years before it became mainstream news. Now they've trained 26,000 preachers to give sermons saying, hand your guns in, take forced inoculations. Now under federal grants, they're taking blood without warrants in many areas, in other areas with kangaroo rubber stamp warrants. They are gearing up for total federalization. It's now all in the PDD 51 and John Warner Defense Authorization Act. Mark Corngy, Fight the New World Order, for decades is our guest. Mark, continue with how you see them moving against us with the federalized forces, how you would see this unfolding.
Well, an escalation, first of all, for it to take place, it has to have a pimple event. In other words, as we've talked about, either a nuclear strike against a metropolitan area done by covert elements. It won't be a foreign power. In fact, let's put it this way. The Chinese were given control over Costco radiological monitoring sites in the Caribbean, remember, years ago, now. They bring stuff in constantly where we don't even get a chance to scan it. So even if we had honorable Americans running the equipment, well, they aren't. The Chinese are. Foreign powers are. Rockefeller said the Chinese system, the communists, are the epitome of what he would like to see in America. Really? Now, if that's the case, then we can see the writing on the wall. So what's going to happen here is they'll probably try to sacrifice at least one site, one area. However, they always have duality and purpose, just as you see with 9/11. If they do this, they always, in order to get more criminals involved in the criminal action, it has to be profitable for them. One of the sites I would keep an eye out for is Jacksonville, Florida. It sounds weird, but one of the reasons Jacksonville is that, remember, we're getting rid of the last of, and they might even sacrifice it, which may be why they left it floating. We only have one diesel-powered aircraft carrier left in service. It's being held over for the moment, which used to didn't have all our eggs in one basket. We had diesel and nuclear just in case something went wrong. Well, that site is a POL site. Jacksonville, like a couple of other facilities, are big EPA cleanup problems, just like the World Trade Center, on top of everything else, was a big asbestos issue. There's a lot of people who have private-funded facilities that are tied in with the aircraft carrier support groups. If they had to fix it, it would cost a lot.
Attack wherever they have a large intelligence nest, because then they can have their people already in place and already trusted to help carry it out. Model with the spook compound and the emergency management center and the CIA based in the nest at Building 7.
An interesting thing about that is I don't believe they were supposed to survive, Alex. You know, if you think about it, we count the planes and count the targets. The last plane or whatever it was that scuttered into Pennsylvania, well, four targets, four buildings go down, only three of them get hit by planes. Now, if you think about it, one of the things to remember is there's a lot of people who didn't know what was going on. But what I would say openly on the air to everybody listening right now, especially to the people on the other side, how many men were sitting in that building in Building 7 that were sitting there when somebody else said, I got to go for a cup of coffee? You know what I mean? In other words, what group or clique may have left the building?
Well, we know who they were.
Yeah, but everybody else was left there holding the monitor, so to speak. If everything had gone the way it was supposed to, all of the other multi-agency witnesses who were not in the circle would have been sacrificed, too, to eliminate the history that you people have now put together.
And for those that don't know, it is confirmed that there was some unknown agency on the emergency loudspeaker system in Tower 1 and 2 telling everyone when they could have gotten out for 30 minutes, this is an order, stay at your desk. Help is on the way. Do not leave the building, because they needed to have some people die. The word was out, so the buildings were more than half empty that day from what they normally were. And there's an incredible article that Paul Watson did right now on PrisonPlanet.com.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right. We are behind enemy lines. We are in the occupied United States, now under globalist control, being used as an engine of worldwide tyranny. Our treasure, our name, our currency, our young men and women are used to build the global empire, while the globalist media internationally blames the United States, liberty and freedom and capitalism for all of the evil, then making the EU the new power in the world along with communist China. We are now to be imploded into a third world nation and be left holding the financial bag for the devalued currency. Mark Gregory Kornke is our guest, and his website is pbn.4mg.com. My websites are prisonplanet.com and infowars.com, and whenever I have Mark on, so we got him for 2 hours next week. It brings up so many points, so many facets, because he's so on target, and I just want to back up everything he's saying, but I've got to control myself to let him go with the info. But remember, head of FEMA for New York, Kennedy, went on the night of 9/11 and said, well, we were there the night before 9/11, for an anti-terror drill. See, showing he wasn't involved. Most of these people are compartmentalized and aren't. And then Peter Jennings is like, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, we arrived around the night before. We set up down on the pier. You see, the agencies, the CIA, the FBI, they were all asking questions. They all were told to pull out. They were all down the pier in mobile command centers. And then the Secret Service and others weren't told to pull out, but they did pull out. One guy thought something was suspicious. He got killed and thrown in the building along with John O'Neill. So they were killing some FBI and some Secret Service. Others with the city emergency management showed up and then got phone calls and said, get out of there. This is before Tower 1 and 2 even fell, and others got warnings before that even happened. Then FEMA said, no, we weren't there the day before. Then the documents came out in the 9/11 Whitewash Commission. It was admitted they were there. Giuliani testified they were told to get out on, again with Peter Jennings on ABC, but also before the commission. Then he lied and said he'd never said it. That is all in Truth Rising. And so it's not just they did all this suspicious stuff. They then lie about it. And, folks, I've got to say it. Now I want to be clear on this. Israel and the United States are wedded to the hip, just like the British. So when I say the British, the Israelis, the U.S., it isn't singling out the British or the Americans or the Israelis. It isn't the people of those nations. It's those governments. And this Anglo-American / Zionist monster, I've really been analyzing it. The problem is there's so many disinfo people about Israel, and so many of them are hateful and liars about me and other things, that it almost made me shy away from it for a long time. But I've actually been doing an in-depth, deep analysis of this, and it is true that you had known admitted Mossad agents, people whose mothers and fathers founded Israel, known dual citizens, all working. And there's an article today, WTC-7 emergency head was building collapse specialist. He was running things, and then he comes out and puts out the official story of fire, of the collapse. They had other weird guys on the streets all reading the same script within minutes. This is red-handed, folks. So definitely major Mossad element. And I know people pointed that out before, and I said certainly they were involved somehow, but more and more, and folks, I'm a big fish. I'm on the front lines of this. This is very dangerous for me to come right out with this, but I am, because the truth is the truth. Mark Kornke, this is getting dangerous.
Well, one of the things to remember is even within the intelligence circles and in the military, we had a lot of people who immediately could see what was wrong. One of the things real quick to consider, the response to whatever happened in Pennsylvania, and again, let's just leave that up in the air. We don't know what was shot down. We know something was knocked down, okay? It wasn't taken down by a takeover from within. It was eliminated by somebody in the military command structure who finally said, you know, throw something out there. Now, one of the rules here with regard to aircraft, I want everybody to understand, when I say holy of holies, remember, Washington, D.C. is the core of everything with regard to national defense, short of our nuclear arsenal, okay? So for anybody to believe that Washington, D.C. did not have air defense capabilities, both for lift launch of, say, fighter aircraft or missile defense commands of one form or another, you know, again, pull your head out of your hind end and think for a minute. 30 days before, or actually a little longer than that, remember, we had a kid try to land a single-engine aircraft on the White House lawn. Do you remember that, Alex?
Yes.
And they announced automatically that they had restructured the air defense command mechanism and had put it in a heightened state of alert. Then you're supposed to believe that a large jet aircraft floats around Washington, D.C., and nobody responds to it?
Well, let me stop you. You have, for at least 38 minutes, the aide coming in and saying it's 100 miles, it's 50 miles, it's 30 miles. Does the order still stand? Dick Cheney says, of course it still stands, with the Secretary of Transportation, Norman Mineta, as the eyewitness and others. So we know there's missile batteries all over D.C., on top of the Pentagon, on top of the White House, and they just let it come right on in.
And the thing about this, guys, is for all of our people listening, remember, there were good men and women in uniform trying to stop this, or that superseded orders that were given to them. Now, one of the
aircraft admittedly had that day super secret National Security Council code. It was broadcasting the stand down code.
Yes. Now, tie in with this, another thing. Remember, there was an aircraft that was seen above Washington that everybody's seen the video of now, right?
They admit that's the doomsday aircraft.
Now, here's the problem with that. I want to rub this in. Guys, that plane does not go anywhere without fighter escort combat loaded. Think about that. Now, Alex, this is another example. This is the smoking gun from another perspective. Guys, men, women who have been in the Air Force, how many times have you watched that aircraft land and take off? There are always aircraft in front of and aircraft behind it. And there is also a tactical top cover made up of combat operational aircraft. If that plane was flying over Washington, D.C., there were combat attack aircraft around it constantly. And yet none of them responded to what happened to the Pentagon. How is that possible?
Well,
there's only one way. It's called treason.
For 40 years, the Pentagon's been ringed by all sorts of anti-aircraft missiles.
That's right. In fact, look at what I'm just saying. Even if somebody said, "Well, there's no such thing," everybody who's ever, this is why I said trained professionals are the keys to this. Everybody knows they're part of the job. Some people fill the fuel tanks on the aircraft that support that plane. Some people fix the aircraft that support that plane. Some of them fix that aircraft. Others were involved at one point or another and have been in an air base and watched how it operates. All of a sudden, we have to believe that the whole system went into catatonic brain fart and didn't know how to do its job, and that's impossible.
Well, we know that a month and a half before, and it's in two of my films, it's in Martial Law, we know that Dick Cheney took control for the first time since NORAD was set up in the 50s to his personal control, so no general or admiral or their designate could order a shoot down. He took the default setting off, and then they approached him, and he said, "No, stand down." And so, I mean, we have them. Mark, why do you think they thought we were so dumb? I guess they were playing in a 1960s era when they controlled the major newspapers and the TV. And
that's part of it right there. Actually, what you got to remember are two things. Number one, once you get criminals into a position of command and control, they have to hire other criminals that are dumber than they are, or they choose. Now, I'm not saying the whole group. I'm talking about command and control, because you got to remember, CNC personnel are a narrow bottleneck. And what they do is they have to pick other yes men who are not as bright as they are, so that in the middle of the night they don't feel that sharp executive letter opener between their shoulder blades. Okay? With this being the case, what's happened is they have isolated themselves. The CNC personnel perceive one thing because it's the picture that's been painted for them, because the yes men will look to see what the response was as they were feeding information to command operations. Now, the problem is what they've been feeding them with ignorance is not the perspective of what's been happening across the nation with regard to the intelligence process built up by the Patriot movement, the militia effort in general, and Americans as a whole. The Washington, D.C. has truly become Barad-dûr within Mordor. You know, the square is now Mordor. And in the middle, Barad-dûr has isolated itself to the point where, even though it has the roving, all-seeing eye, it can't grasp the tactical. it doesn't understand anymore just exactly how far in advance and integrated our intelligence processes are, because Americans are speaking to and handing information off to Americans on a level that it's just inconceivable.
There's an exponential growth curve of knowledge, and the enemy knows that. I mean, look, always they could fool us with the left-right paradigm. The left would be in and the right would be in, and one party would have a high approval rating, the other a low approval rating. Now Congress has a 9% in scientific polls. The president has below a 20. Dick Cheney has below a 10. Both parties are hated. You've got a few million idiots that still support each party. I mean, they've really blown it, Mark. I mean, the people now know they're the enemy. They don't know the full scale of the horror, but that is certainly a great victory for us.
Well, to win, and this is most important, is people cannot expect a silver bullet from above. Instead, what's going to have to happen is we are going to win tactically on a massive scale. Everybody listening has to have food reserves in place. Everybody listening, here's one of the things. They're talking. Think about this, people. They're talking about food rationing and riots in the springtime of America. We have a whole planting season ahead of us, and you have not heard once the Department of Agriculture come forward and say, we perceive a national emergency
in
the fall.
We need you to grow extra plants. We need everybody to put in gardens.
You don't hear a single government. In fact, if it was as serious, and it is serious, but they're going to make it a situation. They're conditioning everybody. They're prepping it as if, you know, this is the best they can do.
Just like New Orleans, where they order a stand down, then people starve and die, and they say, oh, we need more power.
Instead, we need to be doing what they're not. Everybody listening out there, if you want to change the battlefield, change your backyard. Bill, put a garden in now. America needs to grow food, and we need to do it in every way that we can. That's one of the many ways, and it's nonviolent, it's defensive, it's positive, and everybody will gain from it.
And folks, if we go into a depression, you're going to need that food. We'll be right back with Mark Corn. You stay with us. Well, coming up in the next segment, 1-800-259-9231. Mark, you're bringing up so many great areas here, but I want to get your response, your analysis to this. Everything we talked about is now not just secret documents or witnesses or movements we witnessed. It's now in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. It's now in PDD 51. It says the governors, the local police are all federalized. The president is king. He's over Congress. Congress can't see the full PDD 51. But the cover sheet says he's dictator, and that means Barack Obama or whoever comes after him. Of course, they're just puppets. So the main military training with the Marines and the Army is to take on local police and take over city halls. And the poor cops always take part in their own destruction. We know most police will stand down and follow orders and do whatever they're told. But I do see the enemy preparing as if they're going to have governors and others resisting them. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, number one, most important is we hold the majority in many of the departments, even the larger ones, and this is something that they do realize. They've acknowledged privately. The state forces, although there are a few state police like the Illinois Highway Patrol, in and of itself is actually a UN asset. It's listed with the UN, by the way. Check that out. Michigan State Police are in the same boat. They were indoctrinated heavily in the 90s as a UN asset, but not all of them were cooperating, something we couldn't talk about at the time and is still true today. We have people that are in management positions throughout most of these departments that are in place to resist what's going on. The other side realizes this. The other problem they've got, though, is fewer and fewer regular Americans are actually going into the uniformed services.
That's why they're using the MERC teams.
Right. Now you're seeing the mercenary forces, but remember, those mercenary forces are, to a degree, made up of foreign assets again.
So now they're using felony illegal aliens. Now, we knew this 10 years ago. Now it's mainstream news.
Yep. And again, tying that in with what we're looking at, there are two scenarios. Actually, there's a sliding scale scenario here. Does the emperor, Huerge Bush II, the best president Mexico has ever had, want to continue to be emperor? Okay, now if he does, then we know that they can plug in a scenario very quickly with an overseas action, first combined with a supposed attack here, or sacrificing a capital ship in the Persian Gulf. Now, they've pulled them out of the Persian Gulf, supposedly, but the basic old rule was never put a capital ship in the Persian Gulf because it will be sunk. If a capital ship, such as an aircraft carrier, is operational in the Persian Gulf, it's superfluous. It's unnecessary. We have sufficient assets, and the aircraft have sufficient resource and distance that there's no reason to put a ship like that in harm's way unless you're planning on sacrificing the crew. Remember the Maine, that kind of thing. Anyway, that option is in place. However, the more likely wicked response is something we've been warning people about for some time. Second step. Jorge Bush, best president Max Weber had, and soon to be president of Texalan, you know, a subsidiary of Aslan, what happens is he goes back, becomes the little emperor and his little duchy once they divide the country up. But in the meantime, Osama Bama Ding Dong and the Chipmunks, slash Hillary the Hutt combined with, decide to come in and everybody goes, oh, change, small change, change your underwear, change your pants. Well, you
and then the
that.
Terrorists hit us and we learned to love Barack. He got tough and we got to have a draft because Al-Qaeda nuked Chicago.
Exactly. What happens is they plug in a scenario. Here's the thing. Even if they don't have the crisis, I will remind everybody, there was no crisis in 1993 when Bush and Clinton both executed Waco and before that Ruby Ridge. And what will happen again is everybody's going to think, oh, look, peace, love, dope, the liberals are in. No, the vampires are in, sir, and they're all the same bunch of vampires. And so what will happen is while everybody is thinking, well, it's going to take time for them to settle in, all of the machinery is in place for a quick series of actions between February and April of the year 2009.
And now, by the way, that's been evidence. Hillary and Barack are all voting for no Fourth Amendment. They're all voting to go into Iran. It's just absolutely the same bunch. Zero difference.
Council on Foreign Relations, they're all members. Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg, they're all visiting, aren't they? You just mentioned, where's Osama Bama Ding Dong going to be here very shortly? He's going to be visiting Bohemian Grove?
For the male orgy, yes.
There we go. So that should tell you something right there, kids. Wait a minute. That's where Jorge Bush was. Remember when you were there before? Who was there? Why, George was there. Now, wait a minute. George is on the supposed other side of the spectrum.
And they announced on CNN in 2000, I'd just gotten back from the Grove and infiltrating, and then announced that George Bush Sr. and Jr. were there, and that they had picked Dick Cheney as his running mate, and that he would be president. And they just announced it on CNN, like, letting you know.
So if that's the case, then wait a minute, guys. Why would supposed Osama is totally different? Why would he be going to the same place that George Bush Jr. and Senior swap spit at? That would show that they're all the same ilk, doesn't it? I'd say that pretty well puts the writing on the wall.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about whatever you think's most important right now, and I want to hear you tell that story about the founding of this country, what happened at Concord. We'll be right back with your calls.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Do not take the Internet for granted. It is the greatest tool we've ever had to spread information virally. We have hurt the globalists mightily. Their newspapers are down by close to 70%. Their TV and cable ratings are imploding. The mainstream media's credibility is as low as the Congress. The criminals are openly calling for shutting down the free web. You better use it while it's there. Better tell your email list about my radio show, about Mark's radio show. You better tell them about the websites. We are not fighting. We are not risking our lives. We are not doing all of this for nothing. We know we can win. And I've seen this movement go from where 90% of people didn't have any confidence to where more than half of you I talk to know we can win. We need to move that number to 90% of us knowing we can win. We can win if we just stand up and fight. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I remember growing up, and I'm not a tough guy, I'm not saying I am, but Dallas was pretty rough, and I remember, you know, being 14 years old when some 18-year-old guy weighed 250 pounds cornered me, and I didn't have a choice, and you know what? That son of a bitch was going to the hospital 5 minutes later. You know, we don't have a choice. We are going to have to fight 110%, and folks, you're going to realize that sooner rather than later, some of you that are on the fence. Most of you know the cost, and I mean commit. Don't go to the movies this weekend. Go out and hand out copies of Endgame or Terror Storm or my new film, Truth Rising. Print off documents. Give people information. Email your friends. Call into talk radio shows on the enemy side. And plug websites and get info out. And understand that many hands make light work, as Mark loves to say. We are having a great harvest right now. Everything we said's happening. That's our great power. That everything we talked about, the old-timers talked about 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, Mark 18 years ago, myself 13 years ago, it's all now happened. And we're telling you what the next step is because we read what Carol Quigley and the globalists and the Rand Corporation and the Pentagon say. And we have the sources and we have the moles to the point of we could tell you right before 9/11 happened. I was on air saying, look out, something big's about to happen. They'll probably hit the World Trade Center. Mark was on the air saying that. William Cooper was on the air saying that. We understand the enemy's operations. We've watched them long enough. And I'm telling you, they're the most dangerous they've ever been because people say, well, what's going to happen now? And I can say, I don't know, because they got four or five plans going at once. They don't know what they're going to do. There's internal splits inside the globalists for moles we have inside Bilderberg that have been proven 100% accurate. And so it means we're in more danger, but it means when they move, it's going to be that much more sloppy and ham-fisted, folks. And remember, you thought you could serve the system and be okay. You thought you could sit out. They're going to destroy your currency. They're going to set up a greater police state. They're going to feed on you. Going along with this is what will lead to your destruction. Fighting it is the only hope you have. You don't have a choice. Mark Quarantine, your take on that.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, real quick, poor old Carol Quigley. Do you remember when he was on CNN and they were asking him, whoa, you wrote this book? And he blurted out, well, they told me to. And the point, the poor guy was a CFR, you know, he was a ring knocker, CFR, you know, author. His job was to write tragedy and hope for the other side. They never expected us, to read books. And I have a copy, I have an original copy of Tragedy and Hope with the dust jacket intact, and it's one of many books that, yes, we've read, and the other side...
And by the way, he was contracted to write that as their official historian for the British Roundtable Group, the international, real head of this thing, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, via CFR, and, I mean, he said, look, I was contracted to write this. Go ahead, Mark.
Right. He said, don't blame me. But they were pointing at him and they were trying to attack their own. And this is one of the things to remember. You're dealing with a bunch of hacks who constantly are betraying each other. That is why, again, what I said from the beginning here, like earlier on, Building 7 was supposed to die with the people in it, not fall down hours later. If it had, a lot of people who are now breathing at this moment, who can now think about what's going on, are brought more into our camp because they realize they were supposed to be stunt dummies. They were supposed to be meat puppets and victims, and they weren't. And the more people that happens to, the more realize that none of these characters can be trusted. They are based upon deception. That's the key to understanding the difference between working in the light and working in the shadow and darkness. And we work in the light. In fact, remember, we have given out the information, the resources, the data. More and more people are plugging in. But right now, everybody listening, you want to have some fun today. You want to have some fun this weekend. Vote with your wallet in another little way. Reach into your pocket and see if you got a handful of change there. If you got $1.27 or $1.50, vote with your wallet today. Go to the Wally World, go to your hardware, go to your gun shop and buy one 50-round box of .22 ammunition. You know the other side's watching. They are. They're watching numbers. They may not see you buy it, but they see the numbers of what's moving.
The algorithm.
Every round that we buy is another round that gets me an AK-74, an M4 carbine, or something else that the bad guys are carrying because I'm going to make every round count.
Explain what a machete can do.
That's right. Mr. Machete, well, actually, my favorite, a friend of mine who was in World War II used to use a one-pound ball-peen hammer on German sentries. And he said, Mark, it was probably the best tool I carried during the war when I had to silence people and I was trying to infiltrate. Well, a machete works just as well and will cleave somebody quite nicely so that you get whatever they're carrying. Now, we hope you'll go farther than that because...
No, you're right, but a ball-peen with one hit... We'll knock him out and 80% of the time kill him with a full blow on the head. It'll knock an elephant out, and that's right, a machete will only cut into the brain. I agree, that's better, ball-peen hammer.
Now, here's the thing. We're not at the point where we have to use hand tools, but we're going to use hand tools. However, We have to understand that we're one of the best armed populations on the planet. Now,
we may be fat and decadent, but we're made of the right stuff. Our ancestors were the best.
That's right. In fact, what happened is at both Lexington and Concord years ago, everybody should remember the bad guys marched in. Remember, they came in without fife and drum because they wanted to surprise the locals. That was the whole reason that Paul Revere made his ride. The British over and over again have been thwarted and had to try and leave covertly from Boston. Well, they did get to Lexington, but not before Paul's boys had already ridden through and told them that the regulars were coming. And they were going to stand their ground, they were going to it was a show of force, and they were going to step aside. Well, we know at some point somebody said, you know what, I've done this seven times. Because Paul Revere's ride was not once. People forget this, and intentionally the other side's dumbed everybody down, and it's not their fault. It's because they've burned the books. Well, seven times they went out and more and said, the regulars are coming. Everybody mobilized, everybody got up, and then the British had to turn around and go back to Boston. This time around, they didn't turn around on April 18th to April 19th. They kept going. And at Lexington, one guy probably who was a French and Indian War veteran said, you know what, I'm really tired of this. And he cast his ballot with a one-ounce ball, piece of lead, that smacked a British soldier probably somewhere or maybe cracked over their head. And then everybody cast a whole bunch of ballots back and forth in lead for a few minutes, and eventually the Lexington militia obviously retired from the field, ran, because obviously they were outnumbered. They went to Concord, and Concord, the British were so arrogant, they kept track of what they were stealing from people's homes. Whenever I bring this up, always remember, the British are anal retentive control freaks when it comes to records. Their quartermaster recorded the candlesticks they were stealing, the trunks of baggage they were going to carry away, the whole nine yards. And what happened is the Concord militia stood outside of town and waited. They didn't know what to do. They weren't sure. Well, should we start this war? We heard that Lexington fought, but we don't know how bad it was. Well, then the Acton militia showed up from another part, another county, walked all morning and got to Concord. The Concord militia and the Acton militia are standing there and said, what do we do? Well, I know what to do, said the Acton commander. He stepped up onto the road, formed his troops up, called the fife and drum forward. The volleys of the British soldiers' guns were heard, and he dropped dead, but he started the war. He changed the whole dynamics by saying, move forward. Now, from that point forward, the British never took another step in advance. They retreated all the way to Boston. During the Boston siege, we then had what everybody calls Lexington. We call it Bunker Hill, but it was Breed's Hill. Dr. Warren, a man who you don't find any of his writings, and this shame on America because we let the ring knockers do this. Dr. Warren was a man who was a dynamo before the Revolution. He is a person who put his money where his mouth is. When the time came, he picked up a musket and he went to Breed's Hill. Many of the people there said, you got to leave. We can't afford to lose you. He said, no, I can't leave because I've said what I've said and I've got to do what I've got to do. He was killed in the action. And the British commander, one of the British commanders said after the action, because the British took horrible casualties, the one commander said, even for the cost of all the men that we have lost, it was worth it to know that Warren died in this action. That's how important the voice of people speaking was considered and still is today. However, we must be balanced. We must be in both worlds. We have to be in the ethereal world of the mind. I've said this before, and it's so critical. We must be balanced and understand that it's not a silver bullet, but rather a series of actions that are going to win this campaign, win this war. And it's going to be a long one, kids, because the real thing here, Alex, the whole core of this is they want to steal our liberty. For all the rest of what they've said, to steal our liberty, yours, mine, your children's,
and they love talking to us like we're dumb animals, saying the terrorist attacks you because they want your liberty, and then they tell you who the terrorists are as they move heaven and earth to get the liberties. And Bush said, I relish erasing the Fourth Amendment yesterday. He said, I relish signing this, and he signed it and made an evil grin.
Yep. And again, what we have to understand, the people that we're facing are using the Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights as the checklist of destruction, because what this is a vendetta. These are ring-knocking, spit-swapping swine that we fought 230 years ago. Think about it. The men who read down the Declaration of Independence and look at what we are seeing right now and tell me that that's not. In fact, take a yellow marker with your pocket constitution and go right through each step. It's a checklist. Go through the Bill of Rights. The original 10 articles, they did not
And it's
want.
Also, it's you're right, it's also a war against the Magna Carta. Remember that when Tony Blair got elected in 96, he said, my first mission, this BBC headline, is to abolish the Magna Carta, which is the basis of our law. So it's, again, it's always that war against that Anglo-Saxon common law.
Exactly. The liberty of our people is really what this is about. Liberty is a gift from God. If we understand that, we're doing fine.
And it's the engine of wealth, and the elite knows that.
Yes, and all of you out there listening, every person, every man, woman, and child that right now is listening, and those even who aren't, it is the true nature of power is to covet another man's time and to take it. Liberty explains, in fact, basically, it's a gift from God. Liberty is your time as your property and possession. Nobody can give you more time. And so with these evil, wicked, pot-licking bottom feeders, their idea is that by stealing your time, they've gained power. But here's the thing. God gives only so much time to every person on this planet, and they're dying of old age, contrary to what they were told, and they're dying as scabious, clawing parasites. That's what they're terrified of. Look at them. Take a look at the whole group. Look at their eyes.
Scrofulous-covered wraiths.
Yes, these characters are a sad, pitiful group, and they are going to go into the dustbin of history, but scrabbling and reaching and wrenching the way they are, their logic is if they can't have it, they're going to kill it.
Well, take Rockefeller, 94 years old and still energized with wicked energy.
Oh, yeah, but again, not that he'll live forever. I mean, that's the one thing. How many Rockefellers have we outlived, guys? Think about it. How many of his siblings are now gone, or at least cousins?
All his siblings are dead.
Yeah, so here we have him, and then the only one that nobody talks about is Jay Rockefeller. And don't forget him, because Jay Rockefeller is in the wings. And that's the next one coming up, and he actually has been sitting in the shadows wanting to be a chief spider and would prefer that we not think about him. But he is in the inventory. There's another magazine ready to be cock-locked and, you know, used in the rock and roll game here, and that's what we've got to be prepared for, is to identify the spiders in the wings. Yeah, they use the executive letter opener, too, and they're to a degree, they're getting tired of waiting for these others to die off. And that's another element of what's creating confusion in the enemy's ranks, because if they don't want to release power, it is actually what has hurt them and given us the ability to move to actually open the curtain. Remember what Toto did? Toto wasn't very big, but what did Toto do? Toto grabbed that curtain, dragged it off to the side, and the great and powerful... Hey, Doc, let go of the curtain. Oh, my goodness. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Too late.
Well, Mark, I think one of the biggest chinks in their armor, and we're going to go to calls, is that any police officer listening can Google or search government radiation testing on children, and you'll find thousands and thousands murdered, or government nerve gas U.S. troops and killed them. They can pull that up, knowingly murdered them. And then ask yourselves, okay, they wouldn't carry out 9/11. Oh, that's too horrible. But they nerve gassed their troops. I mean, you need to understand the mindset of the globalists. They relish, they revel in killing people and the exercise of power. And they did all those tests to create groups of people that would follow those orders. And I'm going to tell you again, you know in your gut you're part of an evil system. And you know it's all coming to a head, and you know everything we've told you is now happening. And so you better choose sides. You know, Bush said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You know, choose sides. Well, they are the terrorists. Are you with the people? Or are you with those that, like ravenous wolves, come for our liberty? Scott in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Uh-oh, we know Scott's there somewhere.
Yeah, Scott, are you going to talk or not? Okay, let's move on. Who's next there? Josh in California, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for this newscast. It's been wonderful. I just had a couple of things that I'd like to offer and then get your reaction to them, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. One thing you talked about is something called information advantage, and that's the problem that we see within the government structure, particularly within intelligence. People on the bottom like to maintain an information advantage so they can get promoted. Bureaucracies like to maintain an information advantage so that they can get more funding. And that's obviously one of their weaknesses. And then the other thing that I wanted to share is a quote from the RAND Corporation, and I'd like to hear what you think about that. I'm pulling it out right now. Bear with me for 1 second, please.
Okay. Well, Mark, right, you want to comment on that? Okay. Are you ready now?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Future conflicts will be fought more by networks than by hierarchies, and whoever masters the network will gain major advantages. That's from John Archia and David Ron Felt of the RAND Corporation. And that's all I have to say, and I'd just like to hear what you gentlemen think of that.
Actually, a good point here. RAND, remember, was one of the first, before we had computers, to have the what they call the battle spheres. They actually have a map, a literal physical map of the world done as in a hydraulic form that could be turned and allow you to, like God, stand over a part of the globe and actually observe it. Now, it wasn't meant for everybody to use, but the idea behind this was to help them visualize strategic trends. As far as the networks go, in a way we might call that, say, societies. Let's change the name to societies to understand the many elements that are manipulated in the process.
Yeah, stay there, Mark. Let's come back and talk about that and get another response from Josh and then others. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Two more segments with Mark Kornke, PrisonPlanet.com. Mark Kornke, we're going to take some final calls in this segment and the next.
Look at you, young.
Appreciate you joining us. Back with us next Friday for 2 hours. Thankful for that time. Mark, spend a minute or two before we go back to calls. Well, you wanted to finish up with the RAND Corporation statement, but after that, anything you want to say to police, military that are listening who may be ignorant of the fact we're telling them the truth?
Well, real quick here, the RAND, what they do is they actually have been influential, as we know, for the last 40-plus years. In creating the trend, creating the mechanism. We're trying to direct things to a degree. But again, one of the problems is that they're an intelligence collection system with, you know, specific flaws. And part of it is isolation. By the very nature of trying to create division within the population, they create the same division and schism that affects their decision processes, which is why people wonder, well, how is it if they're so powerful, why haven't they grabbed? Well, that's the whole thing. They can't. They depend upon this cloak and dagger system to try and manipulate people into the issue, and that's what the global planning was about. That's what the
They hoax us into making it a social movement to pay carbon tax, like we're getting at the man.
Right,
they know how to stampede us and herd us.
That's right. Now, with regard to the law enforcement and military personnel out there, first of all, there are many out there who are fully knowledgeable of what we're talking about. That are talking about right now, and they do understand what's happening, and they're biding their time. But for any of the other men out there, I'd ask you, take a look. Now, again, some have isolated themselves. This is one of the problems with peace officers, but police officers who should have been peace officers. A lot are bitter and have isolated themselves because they have bought into a lot of this power freak BS. Now, I'm going to ask you a basic question. What did you get into uniform for in the first place, guys? Be you a Marine, an airman, a sailor, or a soldier, or if you are a police officer, a sheriff's deputy, or whatever, you've seen good and bad police officers just as we've seen good and bad soldiers. Now, you know the difference. Do you want to be remembered and perhaps stomped on by the rest of us for being stupid? Because to join the New World Order clique in the destruction of one of the greatest nations that has ever existed by dropping the borders, by destroying the economy, by helping to play police state in America. Do you want to be remembered when we eliminate that problem, straighten everything up, and you're on the out? Because that is the only attitude I have. There's a mistake made by the other side. It's the same arrogance the British had and that others have had before. Don't worry about the ones that are fat, dumb, and lazy. There are a percentage out there, but that's not us. And there are tens of millions of Americans who are not only willing to fight, but will fight hard and win.
But that is important, but not as important as the fact that they're going to keep pushing and force us to fight. I want you to understand something, establishment, those of you in the lower echelons. This isn't funny to laugh at anymore. It's all coming true. You're going to be forced into a fight with us, and the enemy intends that we chew each other up, don't they, Mark?
Exactly. The idea, the thought process is this. We are not playing tit for tat. One thing about this, when moose season opens up, moose season means that there are a lot more of us moose hunters than there are mooses to go around. And even if they bring in and they have brought in foreign forces, They don't have enough of them to get the job done either. But what they do hope to do is cripple us enough that a 1-2-3 punch would possibly accomplish the mission. Well, first of all, speaking to our military personnel, when somebody gives you an order to do something like try to level a city, you turn, you put the barrel to the guy's head, you pull the trigger three times because you got to make sure you hit that pea brain between the ears. But the bottom line is that for all of you listening, you're going to have to make significant decisions here to neutralize them as a threat. And we're going to end up having to fight. Now, we've got a lot of people out there who are in the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, and the Marines who are with us. They're the people we're going to count on. But they're asking one question. I'll repeat this before we go to this break. I've had them ask me 1,000 times, Mark, when we have to fight, are the American people going to be with us? Well, you all look in the mirror right now and ask yourself a question. You want to be free or you want to be a slave? I plan on being free, so I think I'll side with the men who are going to fight for our liberty. Not fight for free oil for the Israelis, but